Amen. We saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God put us here to be ambassadors. I remember when I was in Mexico, one of the people that we recognized whenever they were around in streets of Mexico City was the ambassador from England. And the reason you would recognize him is he had this beautiful old Rolls Royce. You know, one of those Rolls Royces when Rolls Royces look like something special.
Yeah.
With the big old grill and that angel flying off the front and the swoopy side. And the thing about it is, because it was a British car, it had the steering wheel on the wrong side. And you always would, you'd go and you'd see, they'd be driving down the city in Mexico City, you'd be stopping, and there wouldn't be anyone in the place where you usually expect a driver to be. And you'd have to look across to where the chauffeur was, you know, so it looked like the car was driving itself. But the British ambassador in Mexico was there to be British. He was there to represent the Queen and the Crown and everything that England stands for in a country that was very, very, very different. You know, British people don't eat tacos and speak Spanish and like mariachis, you know. Back in those days, in the mid-60s, the Beatles were all the rage. That was British music, you know. And the British ambassador represented the interests of the Kingdom of England in the country of Mexico. So when we talk about being ambassadors for God, we need to remember that that is what we are. Now, we are representing, we are called, hired, and placed to represent the interests of the kingdom of God in the kingdom, if you want to call it that, of the USA at this point, the country of Mexico for those people in Oaxaca. You and I are not called primarily to represent the interests of the kingdoms of this world, of any of them. I love my country. But my primary purpose is not to be a good American or a good Mexican. My purpose is to be a good member of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
There's another difference between the ambassador of England's situation in Mexico and my situation in this world. England and Mexico are not at war. England and Mexico are allied countries, or at least friendly countries. So the ambassador of England in Mexico was a person who was liked and respected. And that's not the case here. Ambassadors of the kingdom of God that we are, we must understand we are ambassadors in enemy territory. And we're calling people to leave that kingdom. We are actually calling for people to defect. We're calling for people to leave the kingdoms of this world, be reconciled to God, and go back to the only true King. And so as we look here in chapter 5, it says in verse 20, it says, "Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us." An ambassador is a mouthpiece of that leader, of that king. God, when you speak, when I give the gospel, God speaks through my mouth, saying, "I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." That is our plea. Our plea in the world is not change this policy or change that policy. We could talk about those things, but God's plea to people in the world is God is extending his hand. Come. Is that your message? Or is your message, you know, you all stinking sinners, I'm better than you. Be reconciled to God, and the basis is God has paid the cost to end this bloody war. He became sin for us when he came down to earth in the form of Jesus Christ and took our sins on the cross. He became a sin, not a sinner. He became sin for us that we might have his righteousness. God says, I ended this battle. I defeated the devil. And now I'm calling you to lay down your guns and trust me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, it says in the book of Revelation. The Spirit and the bride says, come, and anyone who is thirsty, come take of the water of life freely. That's our message as ambassadors. Our message is, you're in the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light has opened its gates. There is no wall, but you got to come the way we ask you, through faith in Jesus Christ. And everybody's welcome if you'll simply come. But there's an urgency. We can't come when we want. We don't know when our last time is. So he says in chapter 6, verse 2, he says, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. He had said in verse 1, we are workers together with God to plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. God has put out his hands. God has opened the gates. God is allowing all who want to come. God has said, I will not put you in the eternal prison. I will not condemn you. I've come to save you. I've given you all the grace in the universe. Don't let it be empty in your case. Come and receive it. Now. Tomorrow it may be too late. You know, there are sometimes, how many of you have ever kicked yourself for missing a really, really good sale? You hate to put it on that level, but you know, I remember once, oh, there was a guitar I wanted. There was a guitar I wanted. And it was about about $1,700 guitar. And somebody on eBay had it on there for like $400. And it was there, and I watched it, and I looked at it, and you know, $400 is still, you know, but man, it's an $1,800 guitar. Yeah. And I was trying to screw up the courage to go buy that sucker. And I said, "Well, I'll sleep on it tonight." Nope, I still don't have that guitar.
Yeah.
It's gone. You ever seen the ad they have on TV with this mortgage company? And it's all these people looking at the house. Says, those are not yous. Who wanted the house too, but you got it.
Yeah.
Don't be a not you. It's open for you. Now is the acceptable time. The door is open now. It may not be tomorrow. As ambassadors, we have to have that urgency. The countries, our kingdom's status with the countries of this world is now in a state of acceptance. But there will be a day when the king will come and he will ride his white horse and he will come back and he will destroy what is left of the kingdoms of the world. And his kingdom will be permanent here in a final state. And it'll be too late. Now is the time. Now is the day. So what is our attitude to be? Give no offense, it says in verse 3. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. You know, the worst thing an ambassador can do, you got this ambassador and he comes in and he's representing his country. And they find him drunk in a bar with four women, not his wife. And this is the ambassador. Does that affect only the ambassador? That affects our view of the whole country. He's representing England or France or the United States or whatever the country is, and look at what a pig he is. Paul says, we give no offense. The trouble is, a lot of us Christians are really pretty offensive people. And then they're rejecting the kingdom of God. No, they're rejecting you because you're a jerk. Because you lie. Because you don't have standards. Because you don't live in a way that honors and glorifies God. Because you're proud. Because you look down on people. Because we do these things. And then we say, oh, I'm suffering for the cross of Christ. No, I'm suffering for the jerkiness of Tom. And so we need to understand Paul's attitude here. He's not just trying to make himself look righteous. He is trying to present the kingdom of God without offense. Christ will be an offense in the world. Don't let us be a second one. Let people say what Mahatma Gandhi said when he was still alive. Don't let him say this. He said this: I love your Christ. You Christians, his Christians, I can't take. Don't let that be what is said. Let people's love or hate fall on Jesus Christ and not on us, because we acted so badly in his behalf. I give no offense. I'm patient. In the circumstances of a hospital, you know, it's hard to be inoffensive when everybody's whapping at you. But we need to be so. He says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers, verse 4, of God, in much patience. Actually, the word is perseverance. The word is to remain under, remain strong under. All this thing is falling on our shoulder. And we read what it is in tribulation, in needs, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting. He says these things, and he's not talking voluntary fasting. He's been talking stuck in a jail and you can't eat. He says, the way we show Christ is when people take his ambassadors and mistreat them. And Peter said, the righteous will suffer persecution. And so we need to have a circumstance where when we see, and remember, he's been talking about trials all along. What will all these trials bring? A greater weight of glory. God will work them out for good. So be patient, persevere, stay strong. That's what shows the power of Christ. And we'll go really quickly through these because the time is short and I'm going to spend a whole nother week on them after Mother's Day. But our weapons, what are our weapons? Notice there's nothing here that can cause physical harm. By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, verse 6, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Those are our weapons. weapons, and we'll look later in chapter 10 as we look more at this, are weapons that affect the way people think, because that's where the battleground is. The battleground is in the mind and in the heart. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against doctrines of demons, principalities and powers, satanic influence, because he's got his propaganda machine going out there. And the only thing that can fight it is a life that shows that God is more powerful Amen. Than it.
Amen.
The life, our life is not what it appears. It says this. It says in verse 9, for instance, or let's go start at the end of verse 8. We get bad report and good report as deceivers, yet true. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. Chastened, but not yet killed. Notice what the propaganda says. The propaganda says, those Christians, they're deceivers. But don't worry about them. Nobody knows them. They're unknown. And Christianity's dying. It's going down. And yet, we're known by the only one that we need to be known by, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that things aren't what they appear? And here you are. Look at this. Living by Faith Church. Little building on a street in McAllen, Texas, which is, as most people say, McAllen, where, what? Little teeny building, little congregation. We're not in the middle of the moving and shaking of the government. But you know what? With God, we are more powerful than any of the movers and shakers that are in the news every day.
Amen.
We live because he lives.
Amen.
But we've got to have an open heart. Look at verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not hidden. You're not hiding things. I open my heart. That's what an ambassador of Christ is to live like. Can we? Do we? Starting today, let's promise our God that we will be those ambassadors. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be those ambassadors, those children of God without spot and blemish in a corrupt and decaying world, that we would be with open hearts before a world saying, now is the day of salvation. Come, trust in Jesus Christ. Hear the good news that God is King and he's calling you into his kingdom and out of the kingdoms of darkness. And help us to live that way for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.